But like we just continue on with some of the thoughts there. So James chapter 1, and we're going to open in a word of prayer here and get started. Father, we love you, Lord. Just thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity once again to stand, Lord, and exalt you and exalt your word. Lord, I pray that you'd make good use of this time, Lord. Just help us to not waste your time, Lord. I don't want to waste these folks' time tonight, Lord. It's come out to hear something from you, Lord. I'd rather them listen to you instead of me. And Lord, just pray you just use me in a mighty way. And I pray that your people get a blessing out of your word tonight, Lord. Just speak to our hearts, Lord. Just help us have attentive ears that we would hear. And Lord, we're going to talk a little bit about that, Lord, in a few minutes. But Lord, we need to hear much more than we say many times. But Lord, again, it's a blessing to be here. Thank you for this time, Lord. It's a blessing that we can come in church, Lord, and sit down and open up your word. We've got your truth, and I pray you to apply it to our hearts and our lives tonight. And may you get glory and honor with what's done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, James chapter 1, before we get started here, if you could title this tonight, we'll see if we meet this title, but I want to title this tonight, Evidence, and we'll see where we go with that, but Evidence, and some that's in here is in my class know that we're still in chapter 1, so I want to kind of go through just roughly and get up to speed kind of where we are. Kind of how we've categorized this. James chapter 1, the first four verses, talks about a trying of your faith. We've talked about that. And the next few verses, verse 5 down through verse number 8, talks about the exercise of your faith. Going down, verse 9 through 12 talks about the priority of our faith. And last week or two, we've been talking in ending up verse 13 through verse 17 talks about the testing of our faith, and we've talked about those things. And tonight we're going to start at verse 18, 19, which begins, if you could classify this, as the evidence of your faith. Evidence. What is evidence? It's a simple example here, if I can get it out. Evidence. In our government, we're all just a number in our government, but most of you in here has got a driver's license. Some of us probably don't need to have a driver's license. But anyway, what's that driver's license do? What's my driver? What is that to me? Come on, it's crowd participation. Come on. Identity, proof. It's evidence of who I am. There's a picture on there of a rough-looking guy. But that's proof of who I am. I've got some numbers, got birth date and all that kind of thing. But that's evidence. Most places you go, you got to hand them that. You know, your physical, you know, they got to prove who I am, because there might be, heaven forbid, somebody else that looks like me. I'm not going to go there. But there's proof of evidence. There's something there that tells you who you are. Whether it's a number, whether it's a picture, or, you know, whatever it is, but there's evidence there. So how about your faith? What proof is there of your faith? What proof is there of your salvation? What proof is there that you say you who you say you are spiritually? Everybody in here that I know of, most of you that, or if not all, claim to be saved. Praise the Lord. Who knows that? Ultimately, you ought to know it. But if you know it, and you tell somebody else, or maybe somebody else, you try to persuade them that you're saved, and maybe somebody else might say you're saved. How do you prove that stuff? How do you show somebody? What evidence is there that you are saved, or what evidence is there that you are who you say you are? Is it evident? And this kind of a root word, or I'm not good at English, but we're going to call it a root word. I guess it is a root word. Evident. There ought to be some things in our lives that is evident. It ought to be evident that you know I'm saved. It ought to be evident that I know that you're saved. That evidence there. That word evident, and my class knows I like definitions, and maybe they give me a hard time, and that's okay. But and I know I talk about this a lot. There's nothing better, and it helps me, whether you like it or not, and I hope you do it. If you don't look up words in your Bible, you need to start. And I'm talking about simple words. Don't read through a passage and say, wonder what that word is, and keep on going. Sometimes looking up a word will completely open up a whole passage. You know, give it a new meaning. Not a new meaning, but the right meaning. Evident. That word evident means this. It's plain, it's open to be seen, it's clear to the mental eye, it's apparent, it's made manifest. So with my driver's license, it's, you know, if I go to the airport to get a plane ticket, that's evident that they know who I am, or who I say I am, unless I've got a false license, which I don't think I do. Evidence. What's the proof of who you are? So let's read James chapter 1. We're going to start reading. Well, let's start reading verse 17. James 1, 17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We talked about that on Sunday. Verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Begat he us in being. How did you become to be saved? Somebody, how did you become to be saved?
Born again.
How? Repentance and faith. Through what? Lord Jesus Christ and his word? Yeah. Yeah. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Salvation. You know, and we could plug in Titus 3:5 there, you know, not works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy saved us by the washing, regeneration, renewing the Holy Ghost. You throw that in there. Begat he us salvation. So that's when you got born again, that defines who you are. That started your life. You say, no, I was born. No. Yeah, you was born whatever date you was born. But the date you got saved, that started your life. You became alive, or the Bible talks about being quickened, being made alive. So that defines who you are. Evidence. That defines who you are. And the Bible talks about you not being born of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Yes. Being born again. And I asked the in our Master Club meeting down there a while ago, just a question. I said, do you ever think where you would be right now if you wasn't saved? Think about that. Where would you be? Where do you think, if you had to write down an answer, where do you think you would be right now at 7:15 on a Wednesday night, 2021? Where do you think you'd be if you wasn't saved? Who knows? Some of us may be dead. I don't know. But praise the Lord you're here. Praise the Lord you're saved. Praise the Lord your life has been defined by salvation. You've accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. There ought to be some evidence there. There ought to be some evidence of who you are. There ought to be some evidence when the world looks at you, your neighbors pass by, wherever you go, whatever you do, there ought to be some evidence just falling off of you that you're born again. You're looking at me weird. That ought to be right. You shouldn't fit in. You know, the Bible talks about being separated and being a peculiar people. You ought to be. There ought to be some evidence on the outside. Yes, I know the Holy Spirit's living inside and nobody can see what's inside, but what's inside ought to be working itself outside. There ought to be some evidence there. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should become a kind of, what's that word? First fruits of his creatures. First fruits. When I think about that word first fruits, my mind automatically goes to tithes and offerings. And I know we've heard the preaching on all this. First fruits. When we come in here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, whenever it is to give our tithes and offerings, missions, giving, what are we doing? What's that word first fruits? You're taking, or I hope you're taking, right off the top what God has blessed you with. Whatever that is, throw it in that place. First fruits, right? Now, and I don't know why this hit me today, and I thought about this, and I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. And this may not have nothing to do with that, but it struck me this way. You know, we give of our first fruits of how God has increased us, how God has blessed our lives. We put that in offering plate. And then our missions, we know our missions are separate. First fruits, right off the top. And I got to think about that. And again, it's a simple thing. It's gardening time. I plowed my garden the other day. Many of you may have already started putting stuff out. This is the way I do it. And now I'm going to have to And again, this may not fit, but I don't know why this thought come to me. First fruits. We give off the first of how God has increased our life, how God has blessed our life. We put it in that plate, and once it's in that plate, done. It's out of our hands. God takes it and uses it as he will. We put out that garden, and again, this is what I do, and this is probably what many of you do. You put that garden out. Don't raise your hands because I'm going to incriminate some of you. How many of you give of your first fruits to your neighbor? You say, that's a garden. We take the first fruits. Yeah, I take the first fruits. You say, would it be right to do that? I don't know. If you got an answer to that, you can let me know. Ultimately, that ought to be right. If Brother Rick's my neighbor and I got a good crop of tomatoes and I get the first, I mean, man, we're excited. We got the first new tomato of 2021 and you want to go out there and you pick that thing. Would it be right for me to take that to Brother Rick and I'll take the next one comes along? I don't know. I'd have to fight him for that because I like tomatoes. But honestly, think about that. Is there any difference? I don't know. I just throwing that out there to get you to think a little bit. First fruits. So we talked about first fruits and garden. We talked about first fruits of the way the Lord's blessed you with your tithes and offerings and all those things. And we've heard it said before, you can't outgive God. If you're not giving God your first fruits, you need to start. And this church knows that. I don't have to talk about all that. This church has as many years as this church has been here, has been given to preaching on first fruits and tithes and offerings, all those things, and giving abundantly above all. And I've seen in my own life how giving of my first fruits, how God blesses that. And most of you in here could give testimony of how God has blessed your home, your families, your finances. And it's not only, God don't only bless your finances by giving a first fruit. There's all aspects of our life that he'll bless because you put him first in that thing. Because you gave of what he has given you right off the top, got it rid of, and then I'll take what's left. You say, I can't give him my first fruits because if I give him my first fruits, I ain't gonna have nothing left. Try it. If you don't do it, try it. And again, majority, if not all of you already do that. First fruits. But how about your life? I'm talking about money and I'm talking about tomatoes, food. I've talked about missions, but how about you? How about the first fruits of you? Me. After we've already established, you know, there ought to be some evidence that we're born again. That evidence ought to be there. But what about first fruits of me? My person, my service for God, maybe? Does he get that first fruit? Or is it everything else and then what's left he gets? Sad to say, too many times he gets the leftovers. We're going to go do and everything that we normally do, and we're all guilty. I'm guilty. We're busy. We got all this to do. And then God, if I've got 20 minutes left today, I'll read my Bible, or I'll pray, or I might go knock on my neighbor's door. Is that right? No. It's not right, and I'm guilty of that too. God ought to have, when you're born again, and again, a lot of you in here have been saved probably two or three times. I mean, I don't even remember how many years I've been saved, since 91, whatever that is. When you got saved, and I know we were all excited, you wanted to tell somebody about it, and now we've been saved for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, however long you've been saved, you should still be giving him your first fruits of your life, of your service, whatever that service is. And again, this church is full of services, this church is full of ministries. That ought to be the first fruits of what you give him. You say, I got to work a job. Yeah, I do too. But sometimes I have to ask myself, is that the first fruits for God? Again, that's a, you know, there's ditches on both sides of the road. But I would want to lean to the side. I would rather give God the first fruits even when it comes to my job. And if I had a job that I was not able to give him my first fruits, I believe I would be asking him to give me another job. Give him the first fruits of your life. Because he deserves that. Look what he did for you. And I know we say that often, and most of the time we say that flippantly. And so, sometimes in my own mind, I just think, you know, in my own mind, I see the sufferings of Jesus. He went and hung on a cross for me, died for my sins, was buried, rose again on the third day. All those things he done for me, lived a sinless life. Now, what am I doing? And, you know, pastors I've been preaching through, you know, what are we doing here? I'll ask a question, you know, what am I doing with my life? After what he's done for me, what am I doing with my life personally? You got to ask yourself the same question. What are you doing with your life personally? You say, well, I'm doing this and this. Well, praise the Lord. If it's for him, if it's the first fruits, praise the Lord. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Of his creatures. Who did he die for? It's not a trick question. What now? Right, whosoever will. Sins of the whole world, mankind. Yeah, it's all true. He didn't die for your dog. Let's throw that out there. He didn't die for your pet horse, and you got to throw that out there. And we laugh about it because we know better. But the sad thing is, how many people don't? How many people put stock in us? How many people get wrapped up in all that thing? We ought to be the first fruits of his creatures. We are the first fruits of his creatures. But how many get that thing turned around? And that's a whole nother issue to go off on. First fruits. But I read that definition of the word evident. I want to read the word of the definition of the word evidence. Similar, but a little bit different. Word evidence means this: to prove, to make clear to the mind, to show in such a manner that the mind can apprehend the truth, or in a manner to convince it. So we talked about all these things, and what I want to, if you don't get anything else tonight, I want you to leave with this thought: what evidence does somebody see about me? What defines myself as a born again believer? When somebody says my name, what's going to come up? To most, that would probably be a scary thing. If we took out a newspaper ad tomorrow and we put, I'm not going to mention nobody's name in here, but we put my name in there and said, who is this? Put my name and put a blank area down there. Turn it in next week. We'll see who he is. What would be said about me? What would be said about you? What defines you? What do people, when they see your face and run into you, or maybe in conversation that you're not in between a couple other people and your name comes up in conversation, what's said about you? What's said about me? That could be a sobering thing. I would want to think there would be enough evidence about me that I love God to the point that would come up in conversation. You know, he loves the Lord. He's born again believer. Go Spring City Baptist Church. I would hope that would be said about me. I would hope that would be said about you. But who knows? Who knows what would be said? Kind of first fruits of his creatures. All right. Evidence. That's what we're looking at. Evidence. All right. Moving on. Verse 19. And I should have said this in the beginning. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the what? Evidence of things not seen. So sometimes we got addicted, you know, in a crime situation. Brother Seth's not here tonight. Can't plug him anymore or tonight. In a crime situation, you're looking for evidence. Why do you look for evidence? You got to prove right or wrong, or prove guilty or innocence. What evidences would be found about us? All right, verse 19. Bible says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I'm going to read that phrase again. Let every man. How many men is that? Oh, let every man. There's no blank. There's no... There's no footnote there. There's no asterisk there. There's no, it's let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I could stop right there and we could go home. No, not really. Swift to hear. Why do you think he would put swift to hear first? If you go on down, and we're not going to get there tonight, but verse 22 says, this be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Swift. That word swift, rapid, quick, speedy, ready, prompt. Speedy that comes without delay. We ought to be running into the house of God to hear what he has to say. But I didn't see anybody running. I didn't run here. I drove. You're saying you're being funny. You ought to be hasty to see what God says. You ought to be running every morning when you get out of bed. You ought to run to this book. See what God has to say. Sunday morning, you ought to run to this place. I'm not meaning physically run, but you ought to be in haste to get here. Man, what's God got for today? What message has he laid on pastor's heart today? I gotta see. Is there an excitement there? I'm not going to stand up here and say I'm excited every Sunday to be here. If I did, I wouldn't be telling the truth. I am excited. I mean, I want to be excited. But you know how we are as human beings. We're in this flesh. There's 10,000 things going through my mind or your mind. And yes, if somebody would ask you, are you excited about church today? You would tell them you was. And I hope you wouldn't be lying. Even tonight, I hope you was excited to come, not to see me. I wouldn't be excited to come see me. But I hope he's excited to be here just to see what God had to say. Not what I have to say. Swift to hear. So swift to hear means speedy to hear. And we'll get to the speaking here in a minute, and that's where we have trouble. We get this verse backwards. In 2021, and I'm not changing the Bible, but I'm going to turn it around just to tell you what. If we were writing a Bible, what it would say, or should say, but this is what we have and this is what we need. If we was going to write this, we would say, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to speak, swift to wrath, and slow to hear. If I was going to write this verse, that's probably what I would put, because that's how I act and that's how you act. We get the priorities all fouled up there. Swift to hear. Swift to hear. So what are we hearing? Right now, what are you hearing? What are you hearing? Right, you're hearing my voice, but what do you hear? When whoever stands up here, me, pastor, whoever, and a lot of you men teach and do all these things, whoever stands here and opens up a word, what do you hear? Right? It ought to be God's word. But many times we hear all kinds of things. You know, with the job I do, I'm on call 24/7. And me and some of the guys that I work with, you know, we got in conversation the other day talking about how all the things that we deal with in our minds, you know, with what we do. I mean, we have our job, we're trying to be focused on that. We got all these things going on at home that you're dealing with. You've got things going on at church that you're dealing with. Then any extra, if it's a special need, maybe somebody in your family that's struggling or you got that you're dealing with. And then on top of that, with my job, there's a, I won't call it anxiety, but there's a, and it's really not a fear, but sometimes it's a fear of at any minute, if my phone goes off, it's go get ready, get in my truck, and go somewhere. I live with that every day, at any time, on Sunday morning, right now. And you say, why do you say that? Because sometimes that's all I hear. Sometimes I'm so consumed with, man, I just know my phone's going to ring, and I'm going to have to go, or I know somebody's going to call, and we're hearing all this other stuff, And we're not hearing what God has to say. And we're all guilty. You know, even now, somebody's mind sitting in here right now is probably somewhere else. You say, how do you know? Because I've been there. I sit back there too. Yeah, go ahead. Swift to hear. When you hear, what are you doing? The Bible uses this term as well, the word hearken. Hearken just means to listen. It also means this, it means to lend an ear. And it says, I like this phrase, attend to what is uttered. Attend. Attend to what is uttered, to observe or obey, to hear by listening. That's, well, duh. If you got ears, better stop there. Attend to what is uttered. When things are spoken, when the Word of God's open, it's not just church, it's in your own personal time with God. It's your own personal time when you read God's Word. Do you attend to what's uttered? Or do you just mark a box off? And I know we talk about this. These are things that are nothing new. It's things that we all deal with. But are you attending? Are you attending to that? Tomorrow morning, wherever you're reading in your Bible, as you read down through those verses, you're just reading, all of a sudden, you got that verse that just, it swells up on the page. As if to say, let's just stop right here and think on that thing. Let's read it again. Then let's take each phrase out and read it. And then let's just stop right here. Maybe we ain't going to get to the next box check today. We're going to stop right here. And we're going to think about this a while. We're going to meditate on this a while. That's attending. And that's stopping by, as Brother Byer would say, park right there. Or park right here. Just park there a while. Many times in our life, I think we need to park some. I think we need to slow down. We still need to be swift to hear, but we need to slow down. Sometimes we hear, and, you know, my parents always told me this, and I'm sure most, if not all of your parents, told you this too, one ear, not the other. That was the trademark. I told you to do this. Did you not listen to me? Yeah, I heard you. Right on through. I didn't attend to it. I didn't attend. Just nobody home. Didn't park. Nobody home. I gotta say this because we was talking about the other night. I'm gonna get it wrong. The gates are down, the lights are flashing, but there's no train. You know, that type thing. We could all hang our name there. Swift. Be swift to hear. I'm not going to read all these. I got several. In the New Testament there, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven times. We'll turn around. Go to Luke 8 verse 8. Luke 8:8. All these, Matthew 11:15, Matthew 13:9. And 13:43, Mark 4:9, Mark 4:23, Mark 7:16, and Luke 8, where we are, they all say this same phrase. Get there, Luke chapter 8. Verse number, I'm going to read the whole verse, but the phrase is at the last of the verse. Luke chapter 8, verse 8, the Bible says, another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, is that you? You got ears to hear? Reach up and touch them. You got ears? I don't think nobody's lost any ears. He that hath ears to hear, then what's that next phrase? Let him hear. Can you cut your hearing off? That's not a trick question. Can you cut your hearing off? I don't have a switch, no cutoff valve, you know. I'm going to get that app one of these days, and I'm going to mess with him. Yeah. That fits, yeah. We got one person who can cut their hearing off. Honestly, though, for those of you who have normal hearing, can you cut your hearing off? No, but yes. You just don't listen. You know. How many times do you have conversation? And I had a conversation with one of my customers the other day, and he was zoned out. I mean, not that he was intoxicated or anything like that, but I was talking to him, and he was looking at me. But he was nowhere where I was talking. I mean, I just want to say, wake up. He was zoned out, like some of you are now. You're zoned out because you cut your hearing off. How many of us come into this place, however many times, I hope most of you here every Sunday, every service, how many times do you cut your hearing off before you ever sit down? You've done made up your mind that what's being preached today, I'm not going to attend to it. You say, I'd never do that. I'd be careful. Never say never. There's an older man, he still used to work with us many years ago, and I've never, he had a lot of just little quirky sayings, but he had this statement, and I've never forgot it. And it's simple, it said, never say never. Because when you do, never say never. But how many of us have cut our hearing off? The Bible says, be swift to hear. Swift to hear. Why is that? There might be something you need. There might be something. I pray to the Lord that there's something tonight you get out of this. I'm through some of my jumbled words. Swift to hear. There ought to be something that just, you ought to be on the edge of your seat on the next word that it might be something you need. I hope there's something somebody needed out of this tonight. I don't know. I don't know what your heart is. I come in here on Sunday morning, there ought to be something that when I sit over there, there ought to be something that pastor says that's going to help me, and there is all the time. And I know all of us get different help. You know, we're all different areas of life. But I ought to be swift to hear. I ought to be so excited that, man, what's going to come out of his mouth? What's God laid on his heart that I need right now? I ought to be that in tune. That my hearing ought to be clog-free, no electrical device to cut it off. I got it. I'm listening. What do I need? Don't be sitting there, what does Miss Ann need or what does Brother Greg need? You shouldn't come in here and worry about what somebody else needs. You ought to be worried about what you need. I ought to be worried about what I need. But we're real quick to pass that off. Man, I hope he's listening. What about you? You're not. Evidently, you're not listening because you're worried about what he needs. Swift to hear. Quick, be quick to hear. I got to hurry. The next two. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Slow to speak. We could spend the next 6 months on slow to speak. Why do you think he said slow to speak? Anybody? Nobody's going to speak up. Yeah. Bible says a fool is known by what? You know, and I know that a lot of you is like this, you know, and I'm just saying this in joking, you know, because most of the time we joke and carry on and all kinds of foolishness around here, and that's fine. There's some quick-witted people in this congregation. When you just in normal conversation, you say something and man, somebody's boom, right back with a return. And most of them, it's funny, we laugh about it. But how about in a serious deal? How about in a serious, maybe it's some conflict between a brother or sister in Christ. When maybe somebody confides in you just to listen, just to lend an ear. They want you to listen to what they got to say just so they can vent maybe. Just want to talk. And you just need to sit there and shut up and listen. But when they start pouring out, maybe it's a serious spiritual problem. I don't know. We'll just use that for an example. A serious spiritual issue that they just want to, hey, brother, would you sit down here and he'd talk to you for a while? Well, when they say that, what's that mean? He wants to talk to you for a while. He didn't say you talk to him. But when they start pouring out maybe their heart or whatever, then here we go. We got to put our nonsense in. Slow to speak. Just be quiet and listen a while. Because we're real quick to, and we can get into the judging thing, and I'm not going down that road with this. But we're real quick to make comment. We're real quick to pass judgment, or we're real quick to form that opinion or give that opinion, and maybe it has nothing to do with you. Maybe it has nothing to do with me. We're real quick to speak. We're real quick to blurt out, well, this is what I do. Well, it ain't you. Slow to speak. Many times that's why God can't speak to your heart, because you're talking or because I'm talking. And I'm not saying out loud, you know, nobody in here is talking right now. I mean, that would be a disruption. But that goes back to those things, those wheels, whatever's going on in your mind. Maybe you're talking to yourself in your mind. And you've just formed a distraction, and God can't speak to you. Can't hear. Slow to speak. Slow down. All right, the next one, and I'm done. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's a good one. Slow to wrath. None of you in here, if somebody does you wrong, everybody in here just, all right, we'll be good. I'll get over it. Nope. Slow to wrath, but I want to, and I'm not going to go over this verse, but I got to add this in. Verse 20 says this, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So if you do pour out, if I could say it this way, pour out your wrath on somebody, is it just? Is it righteous? Probably not. Slow to wrath. Grab Proverbs 14:29. Talking about slow to wrath. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Proverbs 14:29 says this. He that is slow to wrath is of what? Great understanding. That's using some common sense, I might say. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Again, I can't stress the point enough, and I should have went to Exodus 4. I'll just tell you about it back on the slow to speak part, but. In Exodus 4, talking about speaking, that was when the Lord came to Moses, you know, when he was pulling Moses out to go be a voice to those people. I got to go over there. I don't want to leave that out. Real quick, go to Exodus 4. I'm kind of going to jump backwards here just a second. And we'll finish up. We need to be slow to wrath. We need to be slow of speech or slow to speak. Exodus 4, verse number 10, real quick. Moses said unto the people, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech. He was talking about himself. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Verse 12, now therefore go, I will be with thy mouth. But I like this next phrase. And teach thee what thou shalt say. You know, that's one of the things that's a product of coming. There's a wealth of products that we get when we come to church. It's, you know, the sky's the limit. Learning about your salvation, learning about God, who He was, what He did, learning about the will of God for your life. All these things. But woven in that, you know, God can teach you how to talk. You say, how does He do that? Just listen to Him. He told Moses, he said, and I'll teach thee and teach thee what thou shalt say. You know, there's a right way and a wrong way to approach people. There's a right way and a wrong way to address people. You think, well, I learned that in school. Yeah, and that may be your problem. Maybe my problem. Why don't you let God help you and teach you how to address some things? Why don't you let God give you as Brother Scott said, discernment. I got to throw that in there. Discernment on how to address people, how to take the Bible and talk to somebody, how to give a Bible answer. Because a lot of times in our life, that's what's needed. It's your opinion's not what's needed. Maybe a Bible answer is what's needed. How about let the Holy Spirit of God work in our lives and speak through you to give the right answer? Being slow to speak and speak in the right time. Speak in the right turn. Not speak out of turn. Not speak when you shouldn't speak. And I know that goes, yeah, you got manners in there. But I'm talking about in an issue and a problem in something in somebody's life. We just blurt off and we're real quick to give our opinion. We're real quick to say, well, this is what I do. When many times you don't have a clue what you do. Let the Lord teach you how to speak. But anyway, back in James 1. Read these verses again. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. All these things, we've talked about first fruits, we've talked about our salvation, we've talked about all these things, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So what is all that stuff? All these things ought to be evidences. All these things ought to be evident in your life of who you are. All these things ought to define who you are as a born-again believer. You ought to be swift to hear. You ought to be slow to speak. You ought to be slow to wrath. You ought to be given of the first fruits of your life. All this stuff ought to be evidences of your faith to somebody else. They ought to look at you, and this ought to be, when they say your name, they can list, right? Man, he's all these things. She's all these things. That's where we are. So, evidences. There ought to be some evidences of who you are. All right, let's pray.